said, you are in our midst. You said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I would be in the midst of them. And Father, most of all, we thank you for your anointing that shall be in our midst. For it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. And we thank you that you shall think through our minds, speak through our lips. And I thank you, Father, that ears shall be receptive to thy word. Hearts shall listen to that you have to say. And we shall give you all the praise and all the glory. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, once again, turn around, shake hands with somebody before you sit down. We are a friendly church. You just never know what I'm going to say. Well, I want you to turn over to Mark 5, starting with verse 25. Mark 5:25 says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now, you know, I've heard my husband many, many times over these 53 years that we have been married. In fact, we're on our 54th year. I've heard him read those scriptures many, many times before he had a healing service. And you know, I never grew tired of that story because he is so good about verbalizing the picture. You know, used to, we had to have an imagination. Everything wasn't before our eyes like it is now. And so you had to imagine things. I know that, you know, before television, there was radio. Anybody remember when it was just radio? Yeah. And you had to imagine when all these sounds were made, you know, what was happening. Now, like I say, nothing is left to your imagination. Right. But I love this story, and I love the way that my husband would always describe it, because, you know, it depicts the determination of a desperate woman. Yeah. A desperate woman, you know. And really a day when sometimes women were not considered, they were really kind of considered second grade citizens. Thank goodness that's not the way it is today. Yeah. Hallelujah. All the women will say amen. Yeah. But you know, it took courage and determination for her to do what she did. She went against all of the laws of that time. And you know, my husband will say, you know, when I minister that story before healing, I get better results than any other sermon that I preach. So he preaches it a lot. However, today, and you think, oh, you're going to have a healing line and a healing service. Well, it's kind of a different kind of healing service, right? Because I'm going to play on those words, the woman who had an issue. Yeah. An issue. You know, as we've been talking about the time has come for the fullness of the last day revival. And we all say, hallelujah. We want to see that last day revival. We want to see, you know, the church filled as it has been. We want to see people wanting to come to church. Well, in order for that to happen, guess what? First of all, we have to prepare ourselves and deal with our issues. So I want everybody to put your phones away unless you're taking notes. Because we're going to talk about issues. Issues. Like I say, you know, we've got to take care of things in our own life before that we can minister to others. And this is a time in this season that we're living in that I believe that one-on-one ministry to people is going to be greater than any other time that we've ever experienced. Well, you know, you can't minister to somebody else's life if you're about to drown yourself. Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of like planting a garden. Now, my dad would always plant a garden. Well, it was wonderful when he planted that garden, when we got the results of that garden, you know, when we got that okra so that my mother could fry okra or black-eyed peas. I know you from the north don't know anything about black-eyed peas, but they're really good. Tomatoes. Yeah, nothing like homegrown tomatoes. And you know, yeah, we're getting hungry, aren't we? And you know, it's wonderful when we reap the results of that garden, but guess what? Before you reap that results, guess what? You got to prepare the soil. You got to plant the seed. You got to water the seed. You've got to eliminate the weeds. You got to fertilize. I really didn't know anything about gardens. I had to look all this up. But anyway. Yeah. It's amazing what an education you have to get when you minister. you have to control and kill the pests that would try to, eat up your garden. Yeah, there's even like animals. Is it rabbits? Tony would probably know all this. If I'm not right, just don't tell me. Then I'm just preaching. It's kind of like Pastor asked his mother one time when he was a young child. He said, "Mother, all those stories that Dad tell, are they really true or is he just preaching?" But anyway, you know, you have to control the pests that would try to kill them, that would try to destroy your garden in order for you to reap the harvest of all of that good food. So you got to prepare. So we must prepare ourselves for this great last day revival. It's going to take work on our part. Once again, Mark 5:25 says, "And a certain woman who had a what? An issue." This woman had an issue. And I'm sure the guys would say all women have issues. And all the ladies would say, "Oh, all of our guys have issues too. They just don't recognize it." Sad but true, right? But this woman had an issue that needed to be removed from her life. This issue needed to be removed from her life. And you know, She had such a passion for this issue to be removed from her life that she was willing to step out of her comfort zone. Yeah. She was willing to step out of her comfort zone and find a way to get that issue removed. To get that issue removed. You know, I want to ask you a question. What issues do you need removed from your life? What issues? I know this is not a shouting sermon, but I want to tell you what. You'll shout after you deal with these issues and you conquer them. Yeah. And you might say, oh, well, I don't have any issues. Yeah. Uh-huh. Obviously, you hadn't read the Bible. Because if you read the Bible, you knew that you'd know you have issues. Let's turn over to Galatians 5:22. I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. This will tell you whether you have issues or not. Sometimes we don't read the Bible to know what kind of issues we have, but we sure don't read the Bible to know how to get rid of our issues. Galatians 5:22 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace. Oh, here's one. Patience. Yeah, do you have an issue with patience? Uh-huh. Another one, kindness. Oh, yeah. Are you kind when you're awakened in the morning and hadn't had very much sleep? Uh-huh. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Oh, my goodness. This is one we want to ignore. And self-control. I just need that piece of pie. You're on a diet. And somebody just brings you cookies. And so you either resist the temptation or you yield to it, right? Says there is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or, here's another one, or be jealous of one another. Yeah. If you're jealous of others, you got an issue, guys. You've got an issue. And you know, even Paul said, you know, he said, you know, this, even though that when we accept Christ as our Savior, that we are born of the Spirit, but we still have our carnal man to conquer, our issues to conquer. Even Paul said over in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he said, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. You know, it is, sometimes we don't even realize we have an issue until something occurs in our life and we realize, we really do have an issue. And it's so important that we do something about it. You know, have you ever walked up to a person, and most of the time they've been really gentle, nice, and you walk up to a person and you just simply say, how are you? And suddenly they bite your head off. Now, you may or may not say it, but you think, what is your issue? Right? Or, you know, perhaps maybe you're getting a committee together or a group together to work on a project, and you ask for suggestions for people, and somebody, you know, gives some names, and the rest of the group says, we don't want them on this project because they have too many issues. Too many issues. What kind of issues do you have? So many times we want to point out everybody else's issues, but we want to ignore ours, right? And so it's important that we quit rationalizing about our issues and determine to do something about them. Amen. Determine to do something about them. Because it's only when we do something about them that we're going to be able to be a whole person and to follow the plan that God has for our life. And we've got to get over our issues in order to follow and do the work that God has for us as a family of Rhema Bible Church. Yeah. We got to get over the issues of having our feelings on our shoulder. Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, sometimes people say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. And I said, offend me? What did you say that would offend me? I just don't let anybody says offend me. I've gotten over that issue. You know? But God has a plan for each and every one of us. And so many times I read the scripture and I want to read it again, Jeremiah 29:11 in the New Living Translation. But first of all, you know, over in Jeremiah, and I don't have this on the screen there, but let me just read it to you. Over in Jeremiah 1:5, the Lord God said to Jeremiah, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Now, God's not a respecter of persons, is he? So if he knew Jeremiah before he was born, don't you think he knew you? If he already had a plan for Jeremiah's life before he was born, don't you think he has a plan for your life? What is keeping us from fulfilling the plan that God has for our life? Our issues. I'm going to keep on saying that word. Our issues. Our issues. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And then I want to read verse 12. It says, in those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Now, I like the message of that. It says, when you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else. Listen, when we come to God and want to follow his plan, he'll help us to deal with all of our issues if we will allow him to do that. You know, so first of all, in order to deal with your issues, number one, you got to face your issue. You've got to recognize your issue. Face your issue. And not only must you face your issue, but you must be willing to do something about it. Over in James 1:22, and I want to read this in the Amplified, it says, but be doers of the word, obey the message, and not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he is like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror. For he thoughtfully observes himself and then goes off and promptly forgets what he was like. But he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful to it, and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he shall be blessed in his doing, his life of obedience. Now we must face our issues. We must recognize our issues. And we must be willing to do something about them. It's kind of like, you know, what is one of the first things that you do in the morning? Well, you know, all of us have a different routine. Well, one of the first things that I have always asked my family, and now my husband knows, don't talk to me in the morning. I'm not a morning person. I just want to be quiet. Yeah, because I'm not even wanting to be up. And so, you know, and everybody knows that. Just don't talk to me in the morning. But, you know, we all go through a ritual, right? In the morning, we think that we're not a ruddy person, but we really are. If somebody, if something happens that gets us out of our morning routine, we don't really like it, do we? I remember when my grandkids were young and sometimes I would keep them overnight and it's like, oh my goodness. I was just so thankful, first of all, that I didn't have little kids, you know. But they got me out of my routine. And sometimes when you get out of your routine, you forget something that you normally do. But, you know, at some point in the morning, what do? We look into a mirror. Right? You know? And when we look into that mirror, oh my goodness, it's kind of scary. Our eyes are glazed over. Our hair is sticking out or glued down. Ladies, you can't find your eyelashes or your eyebrows. You know, facing that mirror in the morning is not that pleasant of experience, is it? Mirrors are very honest little things, especially if you have a magnifying mirror. You know, they show every wrinkle, every gray hair, every zit. Kids, you know, everything about you they show. So why do we look in the mirror? Because if we don't look in that mirror and change what that mirror shows us, the world is going to see us like that and they're going to wonder, who on earth is this? So, you know, it takes me about an hour and a half to look natural. Very few people have seen me not looking natural. Well, one time, where's Phil? Oh, there's Phil. One time we were on an overseas trip and we'd been up late and we were supposed to be on the aircraft at 7 o'clock that morning or we were supposed to leave the hotel at 7 o'clock that morning and they rang my room and I'm still in bed. I was so tired I didn't even hear the alarm. I turned it off and didn't hear the alarm. All I could do is just grab my clothes, put on my sunglasses, and get in the airplane. And I said, listen, guys, cameras? I better not see any cameras. And I'm always the one that cooks their food. And I said, listen, you will not get your food until I get my makeup on. Phil, can you attest to that? Stand up. Wave your hand. Stand up. Yeah. It's true. And oh, my daughter will never let me forget. She was having an appendix attack. And before I could go to the hospital, I had to get my makeup. I looked in the mirror and I knew that nobody recognized me unless I got natural. Oh, my goodness. All right. You know, but far too long, we have, instead of facing our issues, we've ignored the issues. Yeah. We've ignored our issues. And sometimes we've blamed our issues on somebody else. Or we've pretended that we didn't have issues. You know, my youngest grandson, when he was young, he gave me so many sermon examples. I just loved them. So I hope I'm not going to embarrass him, but, you know, Wesley just tells it like he sees it. He's honest. Sometimes, you know, sometimes we don't want people to be too honest, do we? But anyway, he was about five, I think it was. And Wesley's kind of like me in some ways. He, you know, he's very strong-willed, very strong-willed. And so his mother was, Denise was irritated at him. And she said to him, Wesley, you are, and some of you have heard this, but you know, it's like Brother Hagin, I'm going to tell it again. She said, Wesley, you are so stubborn. So he looked at her with that little twinkle in his eye that I still like to look at, that he still has, but he was five at the time, and he looked up at her and he said, Mommy, what does stubborn mean? And she said, it's when you make up your mind and no one or nothing can change your mind. And he looked up at her with that little twinkle in his eye again, and he said, oh yeah, I got a lot of stubborn. I got a lot of stubborn. So, you know, Wesley was willing to face his issue. He was willing to admit that issue. And, you know, it's okay to have a lot of stubborn if you use it in the right kind of way against the enemy. But if you use it in the wrong kind of way, it becomes an issue. So what kind of issues do you have? Do you have a miserable disposition? Oh, yeah. You know, there's a story told of a young man asking Dr. Edwards for the hand of his daughter in marriage. Dr. Edwards refused, which was quite a setback for the young lad. He said, why can I not marry your daughter? I love her. Dr. Edwards replied, I think you do. I can support her, doctor. Dr. Edwards replied, I suppose you can. Then why can't I marry her? To this, Dr. Edwards answered, my daughter has a miserable disposition. Nobody can live with her and be happy. To this, the young lad replied with real gallantry, but you know, Dr. Edwards, there is always the grace of God. Dr. Edwards smiled and replied, when you're as old as I am, young man, you will realize that the grace of God can live with some people that you can't live with. So if you have a miserable disposition, you need to get over your issue. If you know, if you're never on time, you need to deal. Oh, I'm getting down here. If you're never on time, you need to deal with your issue. If you're not flexible, you need to deal with your issue. If you're self-centered, you need to deal with your issue. That's a lot of natural things, but if you never pray, you need to deal with your issue. If you never read what I call the instruction book, you need to deal with your issue. You know, but we must recognize that we have an issue before we can do anything about the situation. This lady realized that she had an issue and she was determined to do something about it. So we must face the issue. Number two, don't cover up the issue. Don't cover up the issue. Many recognize the issue, but they proceed to cover up the issue instead of working through it. Yeah. So many times they pretend to be something they're not in hopes that the issue will resolve itself. Have you ever seen people that what they're pretending to be is not what they really are? Oh, yeah, I'll get on the women. You know, it's real common with Southern women. Oh, darling, how are you today? Oh, man, you look so beautiful today. And then she turns to her other friend when this one's not listening. Did you see? Oh, my goodness, look at how much she's aged. It happens. It happens. Man, look at all that gray hair. But, you know, don't cover up the issue. Don't pretend to be something that you're not. There was a story of a man who was looking for a job, and he noticed that there was an opening at the local zoo. He inquired about the job and discovered that the zoo had a very unusual position that they wanted to fill. Apparently, their gorilla had died, and until they could get a new one, they needed someone to dress up in a gorilla suit and act like a gorilla for a few days. He was just to sit, eat, and sleep. His identity, of course, would be a secret. Thanks to a very fine gorilla suit, no one would be the wiser. The zoo offered good pay for this job, so the man decided to do it. He tried on the suit, and sure enough, he looked just like a gorilla. They led him to the cage. He took a position at the back of the cage and pretended to sleep. But after a while, he got tired of sitting, so he walked around a little bit, jumped up and down, and tried a few gorilla noises. The people who were watching him seemed to really like that. When he would move or jump around, they would clap and cheer and throw him peanuts, and the man loved peanuts. So he jumped around some more and tried climbing a tree. That seemed to really get the crowd excited. So they threw more peanuts. Playing to the crowd, he grabbed a vine and swung from one side of the cage to the other. The people loved it and threw more peanuts. Wow, this is great, he thought. He swung higher and the crowd grew bigger. He continued to swing on the vine, getting higher and higher, and then all of a sudden, the vine broke. He swung up and out of the cage, landing in the lion's cage that was next door. He panicked. There was a huge lion not 20 feet away, and it looked very hungry. So the man in the gorilla suit started jumping up and down, screaming and yelling, "Help, help, get me out of here. I'm not really a gorilla. I'm a man in a gorilla suit. Help!" The lion quickly pounced on the man, held him down, and said, "Will you shut up? You're going to get both of us fired." Don't cover up your issue. Don't pretend to be something that you're not. Right? You know, have you been deceiving yourself for so long that you actually believe that you are something or someone else? Examine yourself. Be who you are. Be who you are. Some people have a problem with the social status that they grew in. They try to, you know, pretend, oh yeah, they were in this high and mighty world. You know, don't do that. Don't be ashamed of where you came from. Now, my family wasn't poor, poor, but I want to tell you what, most of the time our diet consisted of beans and potatoes and sometimes bologna. I'm not ashamed of that. You know, some people, that's the way they grew up, and they say, well, I'll never eat beans again. I'll never eat bologna again. Why not? I still love it. I still love it. I'm not ashamed of where I came from. So don't try to cover up things. You know, I've known some people that they had to wear hand-me-downs. And now they won't even buy something on sale. Well, that's stupid. You know? They need Craig's book, Don't Be Stupid. Talking about Craig, you know, he was not afraid to be an individual. When he was a teenager, the shorts, they were called jams, were in style. You know, they looked like Hawaiian things. And all of his friends were wearing them. But he refused to wear them. He said, "Y'all look like clowns. I'm not going to wear that." But be who you are. You know? Number three, don't be afraid to share your issues to help others. You know, many times you've faced your issues, you've overcome your issues, but you're afraid to share your experiences with others because you are afraid that they will think bad of you. Don't be afraid to do that. You know, I know that I've shared my issue with you about the fear of flying. And, you know, people have come to me and said, "Hey, you so helped me by sharing that." By sharing that and by sharing how that, you know, the Lord helped me to overcome that. So be willing to share your issues. We're not here to judge, but to help, right? You know, the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery, what did Jesus say? Neither do I condemn you, but what? Go and sin no more. So we're here to help others. We're here not to judge, but to rescue people. We are here to rescue. So, face the issue. Don't cover up the issue. Be ready to share your issue. But most of all, we need to reach out to the one that can help us with all of our issues. Thinking about issues, oh my goodness, I'm sure that some of you saw on Facebook that we all got stuck in an elevator. We were stupid. We all decided to get in an elevator together. Don't ever do that. I learned a real lesson. It was overloaded. Weight limit. Yeah. I mean, you know, you had Dusty Jenkins in there. I mean, that. We got stuck in an elevator for over an hour. And I want to tell you what. If you had an issue of being claustrophobic, you got delivered from that issue right there. Because we were like, oh my goodness. I mean, shoulder to shoulder, couldn't move at all. Finally, we got help and they got the elevator open and we jumped 3 feet down because we were in between floors. But you know, I mean, as we were there, you were tempted to panic. Are we going to be stuck in here all night long? But guess what I did? I just started quoting the word and praying. God, thank you. You've not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. And I thank you now that whatever we need to help get us out of this elevator, that you will get us out of here. God will help you in getting over all of the issues that you have. You know, this woman had this issue for 12 years. As we said in the beginning, she suffered many things of many positions and was never better, but rather grew worse. And as a last resort, she heard about Jesus. She heard about Jesus. So many times, you know, we don't ask God to help us with our issues until we've done everything in the natural. No. Get directions from God first. Yeah. You know, I had trouble with forgiving people that hurt me. And I want to tell you, many people have trouble forgiving people that have hurt them. And let me tell you, if you don't forgive them, as my father-in-law would say, your faith's not going to work. You know, I sat under my father-in-law's teaching, you know, day in and day out as we were traveling on the road, and he would always quote, he would always start his sermons with Mark 11, 22, 23, and you know what it says, 24. But then he would quote, and we'd get all excited about that, but then he would quote Mark 11, 25, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now, I had a real issue about that. You know, and I would try to forgive, but then he would say, well, if you haven't forgotten, you haven't forgiven. Well, God, I have a good memory, you know. I don't want my memory to be destroyed, but I need to forget what they've done. And finally, I was desperate as this woman was. God, I've got to get rid of this issue. I've got to get rid of it. And I would ask God, my husband, you know, because he has no trouble getting, I mean, he has no trouble forgiving people at all. And I'd say, honey, how do you do it? And he said, you just do. Well, you just do doesn't work for me, you know? So I went to the great prophet of God. Dad, how do you just forgive people? Well, you just do. That wasn't the right answer for me. Because I tried, you just do, and it doesn't work. At least it didn't work for me. But God always knows how to help you with your issues. And as I went to God, he said, okay, turn to my Bible, turn to my word. He said, go over to Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. And here was the key, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And he said, you pray for that person every day, first thing in the morning. You read these scriptures and you pray for those people. I had quite a list. You pray for those people. Because I had a good memory, you know. And he said, you pray for those people every day until when you pray for them, those thoughts of what they did to you do not come to you. Those thoughts do not come to you. And you say, oh, well, I guess that was real easy. You just prayed for, you know, maybe 3 weeks and you got over it. Uh-uh. Listen, some of these people I had to pray for 10 years. I'm serious. I'm being honest. Are you going to face your issues? Yeah. I probably knew them better than they knew themselves. But God will always help you if you will go to Him. Go to Him and He will help you with all of your issues. Are you ready to face your issues? Are you ready to not cover up your issues? What are your issues? Are they unforgiveness is one of the issues of mine? Resentment? Have you been a victim of abuse and you can't seem to break loose of that? What about self-esteem, self-worth? David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. Is your issue always being stressed out about everything? The word says, cast all of your cares, what? All of your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Now, you may have to do that every day if that's your issue, worrying about everything. You may have to do that every day until the Word of God becomes, and that promise becomes a reality in your life. And oh, by the way, you know, forgiveness, after I conquered that, hey, it's easy for me to forgive now. I just forgive. You know, I can say, as Pastor does, well, you just do it. Why? Because I conquered that issue. And so this morning, I want to challenge you. Look to God. Allow Him to help you to conquer the issues in your life. Come to Him, as I said, and He will lead you to scriptures just as He did to me. And together, as we overcome our personal issues, and as we come together as the body of Christ at Rhema Bible Church, we are going to do great and mighty things for the Lord during this great time as we receive, as we see a mighty harvest. A mighty harvest coming in for an answer. They need the answers that we have. You know, I look at the world today and there's, oh my goodness, oh, these people just committing suicide because they feel like that there's not an answer. Jesus is the answer. And we have the answer. And so let's get rid of all of our issues. And let's go forth and do what God has planned for us. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I thank you now that as we come to you, Father, I thank you that as each and every one deal with their issues, face them, Father. Not to cover them up, but to look to you. Not to pretend that they're there, not there, but to look to you, Father. And I thank you that you will show them how to deal with these issues. That you will show them how to be delivered from these things that are holding them in bondage. And I thank you, Father, as they do, that the plan of God shall be manifested in their life. And great fruit shall come from their life. Hallelujah. As heads are bowed, eyes closed. You may be here today and you say, Lynette, I've never accepted Christ as my Savior. Therefore, I can't ask for His help with my issues as I've never made Him the Lord of my life. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so if you've never received Christ and you would like to receive Him this morning, may I see your hand? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you've never accepted Christ. Or maybe you once accepted Christ, but you've drifted from Him. Thank you. Is there a hand over here? Hand up. Any ushers help me? Hand over here. Or perhaps that you've once knew Christ. Yes, thank you. Once knew Christ. You can put your hands down now. Once knew Christ, but you've gone away from Him like the prodigal son, and you say, I want to come back home. I want you to raise your hand. You know, perhaps that you've been a church member, but never known if you've accepted Christ as your Savior. If you're in that category, I want you to raise your hand. Because He wants you to be, He wants to be your Savior. There's another invitation that we have, you know. There is an experience beyond salvation. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we are born of the Spirit. But there is another experience being called filled with the Spirit. Acts 2:4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If you have not received that experience and would like to, raise your hand. Raise your hand. I want us to all stand up. And those that have raised your hand, I want you to come down here. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. And then we're going to take you to a special room where people will be there to minister to you. Let's sing something. Come on down. I know there are hands were raised. Come on down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
Jesus is waiting.
Yes.
With open arms.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on down.
Just as
come on down.
You are.
Now is the time.
Come as you are.
The Lord's going to help
come
each and every one of these
you are.
As they accept Him as their Savior.
Really doesn't matter.
Hallelujah.
Really does.
Come on down.
Matter.
Come on down. Now is your time. Don't let this opportunity pass.
With open arms.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you guys for coming down. You know, salvation is a gift. Jesus died on the cross that we might have that gift. We don't have to work for it. It's a gift, just as I have some books here, The New Birth, My Tongues and in Him. And you don't have to work for these books. But I want to reach them out. And what do you have to do to get them? And you got to what? You got to reach out and receive them. Now, all of you are going to get these books. But just as these books were given to this young man, that's the way salvation is. So I'm going to pray with you. And then you're going to go to a special room where there will be those there to help you and answer any questions. Father, we thank you for these precious souls. Father, these that have come to ask Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I thank you for whatever they have come down for, that they shall receive that gift from you. And we shall give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Turn right here and see Brother Greg. He's going to take you to that special room and you'll receive what you've come down for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you guys, we're going to get all of our issues resolved, right? You're going to get your issues resolved?